This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Big boost for Kamala Harris, at least here in California. Some new polling's out. She's got a good inflation report today. Long Beach says it's going to get more aggressive with homelessness as this new report comes out that says LA is too aggressive.
Highly critical of the city of Los Angeles and how it's handled the homeless crisis over recent years, a group called Human Rights Watch says LA is pursuing an expensive and ineffective policy of criminalizing people who are homeless.
One woman was talking to me about how they threw away her family photos, the connection that she had with her family, paperwork, driver's licenses, IDs.
The group's John Raefling says there are better ways to accomplish the goals.
The city, the state, the federal government should be not just investing in developing more affordable and accessible housing for people, but also in working to help keep people in their existing housing.
According to the LA Times, the lengthy report does credit a new approach by LA's Mayor Karen Bass, but says her Inside Safe program has fallen short. They say it prioritizes publicly visible encampments as opposed to setting aside rooms for people in the most need. We've reached out to the mayor for comment, still waiting for her response.
So the governor has said he's going to move the funding around to places that are actually clearing out some of the homeless camps in Long Beach. Officials say they're going to start issuing more citations, even send people to jail if they don't leave their camps when they're told to. John Baird is live in downtown Long Beach.
Yes, the governor has threatened to withhold funding, and you've got the Supreme Court decision, which allows governments to now enforce laws banning sleeping outside, even if there are no shelter beds available. Long Beach officials say they'll give notice, they'll offer services and shelter, but if the homeless still refuse to leave, then they will, as a last resort, write tickets or take people to jail. Now, I just talked to Long Beach City Councilman Daryl Supernaw, who believes this is a move they need to take.
There are certain hot spots that tend to keep going on, and you can clear folks out, and then others or the same folks are back again. And so we need to find a way to stop this kind of cyclical situation. And I think this is a good step in that direction. And thanks to the governor for coming up with the policies.
He says some of his constituents are just fed up with the homeless camps and want them gone. Others, though, tell me this morning they don't think writing tickets or putting people in jail will solve anything.
It has been estimated across Los Angeles that there are possibly thousands of people living in illegally parked vehicles, cars, RVs, things like that. And in a few months, we may know the exact number and what it'll cost to deal with. Craig Figner has more from the KNX News City Hall Bureau.
Los Angeles council members have increasingly been at odds with the LA Department of Transportation. They've been passing these motions with very specific language, telling LADOT to begin towing parked vehicles, illegally parked vehicles, especially RVs. These are vehicles that are being used as housing. And today they'll vote on another item here. They'll instruct, if this passes, they'll instruct LASA to spend the next 3 months inventorying exactly how many cars and RVs are being used as housing across the city of Los Angeles. And another part of this, it says to locate a place where these towed RVs and vehicles can be stored and come back with a report on not only the location, but what it will cost the city of Los Angeles. At LA City Hall, I'm Craig Figner, KNX News 97.1 FM.
New poll shows Kamala Harris holding a huge 25-point lead over Donald Trump in California. California voters in the race for the White House. Latest survey, LA Times part of this, showing the VP being supported by 59% of the likely voters compared to 34 for former President Trump, margin 7 points higher than the one that President Biden had in the earlier poll before he decided not to seek re-election. Big reason for the surge, support for Harris among the younger voters and African Americans.
There is another poll that asks voters whether Trump or Harris has the right stuff to be president.
Nearly half of voters who responded to the poll by the Associated Press and the NORC Center for Public Affairs Research say that committed to democracy and disciplined are attributes that better describe Vice President Kamala Harris. About 3 in 10 say these qualities better describe former President Donald Trump. About 4 in 10 say Harris is someone who cares about people like you, while about 3 in 10 say that about Trump.
As CBS News correspondent Donna Warder.
20 minutes of nonstop news presented by theloanexchange.com for all your home loan needs.
We can't hope that we defeat Donald Trump. We can't hope that we can collectively bargain. We can't hope we protect Social Security. We can't hope that we address climate change.
Says you got to vote. Go make it happen. Tim Walz, VP candidate for the Democrats in town yesterday. L.A. first, then Newport Beach. Unlikely place for a Democrat to go. Well, Orange County's a little more purple these days. Swing districts is going to be a fight for the congressional seats. Orange County Supervisor Katrina Foley was at that event, helps organize it.
Supervisor, good morning.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Good, thank you. So you were one of the organizers. Tell us what happened there. How many people came out? How much money did you make?
Well, I helped to the organizing committee. I wouldn't say I was an organizer, but we helped to raise some funds for the event. We had our team helping to volunteer at the event, and we had a great turnout. I mean, there was more than 200 people there. The minimum buy-in was about $1,000. So it was intended to be a fundraiser, not a rally like some of these great events are having in other places. But I felt the enthusiasm and energy in the room was great. And the most important thing for California and for Orange County is that this new level of excitement at the top of the ticket is really helping our down ballot races in our congressional races and, you know, even in our local city council races.
Let me ask you about that, because there's some new polling out that we were just talking about a minute ago showing really big boosts for the Democrats, particularly in California with this ticket, and it's Harris over Biden. I'm wondering if you think that's new people or if it's just people the Democrats should have had anyway and Biden couldn't get. Because if it's just regaining what you should have, then that really changes the story, because this is going to be a tight race anyways.
I think it's a combination, and what I'm hearing from some of our congressional candidates here in Orange County, Democrats, is that 2018, you know, we had this huge surge here in Orange County with Democrat involvement a lot greater than in the years past, and they're seeing volunteers at a level higher than in 2018. So this is good news for flipping the House here in Orange County and holding on to some of our Democrat seats like Congressman Levin.
You had mentioned that the minimum buy-in for the event was about $1,000. I understand some paid upwards of $100,000. Again, any idea how much he pulled in from this event?
I don't know yet. Those numbers haven't been released, but there were five people I know that gave $100,000, and I helped to raise nearly $80,000 in 4 days for this event. So it's really the largest amount of money that I've raised in such a short period of time. So that to me says there's a lot of excitement. You don't have people just rushing to send $1,000, $20,000, $10,000donations to you normally in 4 days.
They're happy to fork it over. All right, Orange County Supervisor Katrina Foley at that Tim Walz fundraiser, Newport Beach yesterday. Thanks.
Speaking of money, well, there's a new inflation report out this morning, and cable TV is crumbling. Those stories and more as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Well, the year-over-year inflation last month hitting the lowest levels in more than 3 months, according to that consumer price index that came out today. The numbers released today. Overall increase, the annual increase came to 2.9. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger says figures vary a lot among different sectors of the economy.
Food prices up 2.2% from a year ago. Food away from home was up by 4.1% from a year ago. For those who are eating in, food at home prices up by 1.1% from a year ago.
The slower inflation shown by the numbers raising hopes that the Federal Reserve might finally lower the rates when it meets again next month.
White House hosting an unusual gathering, they say today, called the Creator Economy Conference. Brings together about 100 leaders in digital media. They're going to be talking about a bunch of issues that affect online content creators, including pay equity, challenges posed by AI, and the number of top government leaders supposed to be there. Dropping in on the discussions, it's estimated that about 50 million people around the world work on creating digital content.
The big losses at Paramount, Warner Brothers discovering, yep, the fall of cable TV.
The entire industry is contracting at a pace unheard of in modern times.
Producer Tom Noonan, founder of Bullseye Entertainment, says the Hollywood strikes and pandemic made things worse as TV production ground to a halt. And now Paramount has shut down its TV arm, laying off 15% of its workforce.
Several of the cable networks will either consolidate that they own or go out of business.
He says Paramount's problems are far from over. Noonan says Netflix led Paramount and other companies over a cliff.
Too many of these legacy companies tried to to follow Netflix's business model, and it's put them out of business. It's the companies with the diverse portfolios, companies like Disney that have several revenue streams, companies like Apple TV, companies like Amazon that aren't relying on their entertainment arm to pay all their bills.
He says Netflix is the dominant force in streaming. Noonan says the only company that could one day compete with it is Disney. I'm Karen Adams, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
The LA City Council is giving more than $5 million to what's described as a unique program. Here's Bob Brill.
It's called the Repair Program, and it's a pilot for underserved communities to help bolster the lives of people there. The money will be spent in six neighborhoods from Pacoima to Westlake to South Los Angeles to Skid Row. Much of the money will go to Boys and Girls Clubs for family and educational services. Some of it will go to food services, job training, and women's programs. More than 1,000 ideas were submitted by residents. The pilot program stems from similar projects now running in 7,000 cities across the globe. I'm Bob Brill, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Costa Mesa officials taking a new approach to spurring the local construction of more of the affordable housing. City Council voting to put a fee on developers who build the new projects that don't include at least some of the lower cost units. Voice of OC says they set an initial fee of $10 per square foot on developments of more than 50 homes or apartments that don't include affordable housing units. Some council members favored an even higher fee. They're doing that in other cities like Santa Ana, Huntington Beach, and Mission Viejo.
Looking at doing a lot of digging at Seal Beach's Naval Weapons Station because of toxins lingering from a former skeet site. As Natalie Tavidian reports, the Navy wants the community's input on how the projects will look.
There are multiple proposals from the Navy on the table, and even though the skeet range site, where members of the Navy and their families use as a recreational clay shooting site, hasn't been used since the early 1990s, the soil has a lot of residual lead and other toxic chemicals from metals, says the Navy base.
The range itself wasn't 23 acres. 23 acres includes the entire area of contamination, which is the range and also off-range areas where the shot and the clay targets fell.
It's also close to a national wildlife refuge. Greg Smith is a spokesperson with Seal Beach Naval Weapons Station.
This public comment period actually started on August 1st, ends on August 31st. The public meeting where the public can get the information directly from the Navy and also ask questions, that's going to be held this Thursday. The location will be the Mary Wilson Public Library in downtown Seal Beach.
He says many of the studies needed to figure out how much junk is left behind. That's all been done, and now they're working to narrow down a cleanup plan. I'm Natalie Tavidian, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
The international mediators hoping to kickstart stalled ceasefire negotiations between Israel and Hamas. New round of talks meant to finally get to a deal, but the chances of a breakthrough, slim. Hamas isn't going. CBS's Rami Innocencio from Tel Aviv.
Hamas's representative in Lebanon told CBS News it will not attend ceasefire talks with Israel tomorrow, and that could be the trigger for Iran and Hezbollah in Lebanon either or both to launch retaliatory strikes against here in Israel that they've threatened for the past 2 weeks.
They've been looking at this internationally backed proposal for more than 2 months, would wind down the war. It's been going on 10 months and get the 110 hostages still held in Gaza freed.
Tropical storm Ernesto has hit Puerto Rico, knocking out power to thousands on the island and is forecast to become a major hurricane. Meteorologist Jim Cantore with the Weather Channel.
Warm water temperatures will help this grow to a major hurricane. We normally get our second major hurricane on September 19th, so this would be very, very early for this to happen. The wind field expands, but the wind around the eye is what gives us that Category 3, and that wind field is going to expand all the way up through the Atlantic Ocean and eventually Maritime Canada by the time we get to early next week.
Ernesto marks the fifth named storm so far of the Atlantic hurricane season. Usually that doesn't happen until August 22nd.
20 minutes of nonstop news. They're calling it the biggest change in years. Seismic shift. We've had a few of those last couple weeks around here, right? Earthshaking. But seismic shift in the way the realtors do business. New rules rolling out as part of a big settlement by the National Association of Realtors. What's this going to mean for you if you want to buy or you want to sell a house? Let's get into it with UC Irvine economics professor and director of the Center for Real Estate. It's Ed Colson.
Hi, Ed. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, yeah,
thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you for joining us. If I'm in the market to buy or sell a home here in Southern California, what can I expect to be different when this rule takes effect on Saturday? I saw someone quoted who said, I expect a lot of confusion.
Well, I think that person is correct. There's still a lot of uncertainty about how this will all play out. Previously, when you contracted with an agent to sell a house, there was certain provisions in that agreement And in particular, the big change is coming with respect to the buyer's agent. Previously, that agreement that that a seller would have with an agent would allow for the direct compensation of the buyer's agent. That buyer's agent, typically, if you have a 6% total commission, 3% would go to the seller's agent and that agent's broker, and then 3% would go to the buyer's agent and that broker. That was deemed to be improper, and so now it is not a requirement that that buyer's agent compensation will be part of the seller's agent agreement. So the buyer, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so the traditional payment structure, quote unquote, that we're kind of used to, right? 5 or 6%, that's a commission, and they split it. That's kind of gone now.
Well, it might not be gone. You could still have that arrangement. The upshot is that the buyer has to sign a separate buyer's agreement with their agent in order for the buyer's agent to get compensated. They can still be compensated by the seller. That can still be a viable agreement, but it doesn't have to be that way anymore. And certainly the buyer will have to sign a buyer's agreement with their agent.
You know what? It does all sound very confusing.
It's a choose-your-own-adventure thing now.
And there's also, you look at it from two different sides, right? Because the realtors are digging into this saying, well, I don't like this. I don't know how that's going to work. But what I want to know as a buyer or a seller, is it going to save me any money?
Right. We don't know. I think one of the major upshots of this is that sellers and buyers are now aware that these things are more flexible than previously thought. I think it was always just assumed that there'd be this 5% surcharge to sellers to compensate both the buyer and seller's agents. What people are aware of now because of this settlement is that that's more flexible than it used to be. And so the buyer is going to have to say, okay, is my buyer's commission worth 3% or 2.5% of the selling price? They may say no.
So
in which case the seller doesn't have to compensate the buyer as much, or whoever's paying the buyer's agent doesn't have to compensate them as much. And so the total price, including the agency fees, probably will go down slightly.
So I guess the phrase that pays in all of this is everything's negotiable more than ever.
All right. UC Irvine, econ professor Ed Colson.